Most of this sermon is based on Lutheran pastor Tim Meyer, his sermon, and also I have a story from Pastor Michael McLean. All the edits, and there was a lot of editing, believe me, is mine. We have listened to our text, and we have seen the angels and heard them proclaiming, "Praise and glory and honor and strength and might and wisdom be to the Lamb who is at the center of the throne." All of this worship belongs to the Lamb because salvation comes from the Lamb of God. In today's second reading, John writes these words, "Salvation belongs to our God." He was reminded of what Paul wrote to Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all." We look once again at the crowd that is gathered around the throne. We find that there are many people. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." Last week, we heard how John saw four living creatures, how he saw elders, and how he saw the angels. Now, he says, all the saints are there from all directions on the earth, from every tribe, nation, and language. No one can count them. It's almost beyond imagination. John describes them for us. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches in their hands. White robes is the sign of purity, a sign of Christ's righteousness. As they were standing around, they weren't just idly talking or gossiping or chatting about the weather. Instead, we're told in verse 10, "And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" There they were there, not because of what they had done, but because of what the Lamb of God has done. He had provided salvation for them. He had provided for them robes that covered up their sinfulness. They stood before the Lamb of God, along with the living creatures and the angels and the elders, covered up with the robe of Christ's righteousness. Then one of the elders asked John, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" Not that the elder did not know. John answered, "Sir, you know." And he, the elder, said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." You and I do not deserve to wear white robes. You and I do not deserve to stand before the throne of God. Yet the Lord promises each and every one of us by faith, by the grace of God, that we will stand there, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done. The white robes symbolize this action of God's divine gift of forgiveness. Those saints stood there, not with their own purity, but the robes that were given to them, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Sinners, such as you as I, have been purified by God's divine forgiveness. Just as no one has escaped death, so no one escapes sin. You and I are thankful because by God's divine forgiveness, our sins are forgiven. The blackness of our heart is covered up with the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we, like the saints who are standing before the throne of God, will one day also stand there with robes of righteousness. For salvation comes from the Lamb, the Lamb who is our shepherd, who provides us with divine forgiveness and will provide us with robes of righteousness. John then describes for us some of the blessings of heaven. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence." He describes the angels as being there day and night. The saints in their white robes are there worshiping day and night. They don't get tired, so they can do it day and night forever and ever. On this side of heaven, you and I cannot understand the blessedness of heaven. We only get a very little glimpse of it and a very small understanding of it. John goes on in verse 16. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Not to be hungry, not to be thirsty in our day and age, that doesn't happen too often. Not here in Tawanda. In the time of Jesus and during the Old Testament times, most of the time in the life of the believer was spent providing food for their families. They labored under scorching heat. They went to get water, whether it was hot or cold out, whether it was dry or raining. He says, never again, because the Lamb was at the center of the throne. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. Now John makes this connection, that this Lamb is not just the Lamb of God, but he is also the Good Shepherd. Which leads to today's gospel lesson. The Good Shepherd tells us, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. To help us understand how Christ's blood covers us, Pastor Michael McCain writes, I heard a story on National Public Radio recently. Jeff Smith, the frugal gourmet, was traveling through Washington State and was in a remote area when he came across a flock of sheep crossing the road. He stopped his car to wait, and soon the shepherd of the flock came by on horseback. Jeff Smith is an ordained minister, and he had questions for the shepherd. He asked, what do you think when you hear the expression, Lamb of God? The answer was more than he could have expected. The old shepherd told this story. He began, springtime is a tough time for sheep and shepherds. It is lambing time. It is a time of tragedy. When many ewes are giving birth, the shepherd must often deal with problems. Sometimes the lamb dies at birth. Sometimes a ewe dies giving birth. And here is the scene. Over there is a mother sheep who has lost her baby at birth. Over there is a lamb that has lost his mother in the process of being given life. But sheep are difficult animals. A sheep will not take a lamb that is not their own. So we have the case of a mother sheep full of milk that will nourish a baby and no baby to feed. And we have a lamb hungry for life-giving nourishment and no milk to drink. Soon the motherless baby will starve to death. It is a scene of abundance and scarcity all at once. And this is what the Good Shepherd must do. Now, this is going to be a bit graphic, but it's the truth. To reconcile this moment of tragedy, the shepherd takes the lamb that has died and slits its throat. Then the Good Shepherd washed the living lamb in the blood of the one who died. Out of death will come life. The lamb who died gives life to the lamb that is motherless. Now the mother sheep will accept this baby washed in the blood of her own. The shepherd then said, that is what I know about the Lamb of God, and the Good Shepherd as well. For us who are washed in the blood of the Lamb and who are part of the flock of the Good Shepherd, that is all we need to know. We who are separated from God by sin and death now have been given new life. The Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God are one and the same, the one who saves, Jesus Christ. Amen.